The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
All right, we are back on The Blitz, and we are talking all the talk of the Big 12 expansion that's going on right now. And David Boren, who is the president of Oklahoma University, is a very big advocate for expansion. He is very pro Big 12 expansion. That said, that there are people on the Board of Regents at Oklahoma who feel very differently, including Max Weitzenhofer, who's the board chair. He's got a quote that says, "I just don't feel expansion is in the best interest of our football program." So there clearly Texas and Oklahoma are divided on this, and Oklahoma's divided on this within itself. Mike Perrin, who's the AD of Texas, has been quoted as saying that the prudent thing to do for the Big 12 is to stay where they are. Now, they've also said it would take a lot to give up the Longhorn Network, which is something that if they go to 12 or 14 teams, which apparently that's what's coming out now, is that they're possibly looking to bring in 2 to 4 more teams. Man, I'm telling you, this is going to eventually get ugly. And I know that, you know, if you're a TCU fan or you're Baylor fan, in your mind, what Texas thinks about this doesn't really matter. But I still firmly believe that if Texas leaves that conference, even as bad as they've been at football, the brand name of the Big 12, which, by the way, probably, I mean, it's considered the weakest of the Power 5 conferences already.
Take Texas out of that equation.
You take Texas out of that equation. That, I don't know if it's a Power 5. I don't know if that, maybe they just say, well, we're back to having four power conferences, and those are everyone's going to get a playoff team out of it, and the Big 12 is SOL. I don't know what they're going to do. Some of the quotes from Chuck Carlton of the Dallas Morning News. John alerted me to this. He said, well, Big 12's Bob Bowlesby said board of directors spent most of meeting after Baylor presentation talking conference composition. This is David Boren on a 2-hour meeting with Baylor. We were assured of the university's commitment to keep the conference apprised. And then he said, well, expansion lives on. Big 12 board authorizes Bowlesby to gather information on prospective candidates. Boren asked if news of ACC network deal with ESPN impacted Big 12 discussions. Quote, it indicates we live in a fast-changing world, which means they want to get in on some of that dough. Boren said Big 12 will be evaluating nature of interest of schools in Big 12, focused on improving Big 12 competitively and financially. I think it's funny that they put them in that order, competitively and financially, when realistically it's financially and competitively.
Yeah, for sure.
Boren said Big 12 is focused on what expansion of conference near term would mean to conference, just like the addition of title game. Boren said Big 12 will look at impact of addition of 2 or 4 schools. Didn't dismiss the idea that some Big 12 members would push to add as many as 4 schools if conference expands. Bowlesby said he isn't prepared to put a timetable on expansion contracts, envisions 2-stage process, including possible negotiations. David Boren drops the magical phrase pro rata if Big 12 expands, meaning conference would get additional money from TV partners. Was told late last week by industry source that Big 12 expansion was 60-40 proposition. I think odds are higher now. One thing Big 12 did better in the past was message control, lowered expectations publicly by downplaying prospects. Bourne says it's a forward step and a positive step and shows momentum on board to consider expansion as a possibility. Bowlesby said all Big 12 members supportive of continuing expansion, at least in conference or in concept. I don't believe that at all. Bowlesby said he was supportive of expansion steps, said it was an all-day session minus two-hour meeting with Baylor. Had to believe Big 12 presidents, chancellors were not coming to Dallas in July just for the climate. Sounds like real substantial progress. So maybe there's something going on. Maybe there's something to it.
Here's what comes down to. You've got 10 votes. You need a super majority of 8.
Yeah.
And you already know you don't have Texas's vote.
Right.
So basically, they got to probably Big Brother, TCU, and Texas Tech. And or any other team. You only need 2 more, and this goes away, essentially. So I think you're right. I think they're going to give noogies to someone until they say uncle, and I think this will all be much ado about nothing in the end.
That one tweet that all Big 12 schools seem to be on board.
They're on board with investigating it and talking about it.
Yeah.
Voting it in is a completely different animal.
And they've talked about already, you know, it's if they were to force Texas to get rid of the Big 12 network, not only would the Big 12 somehow, and Bourne has said as much. He said, I'm not out to get Texas. If we did something, you've got to make Texas financially whole. You can't expect them to give up $15 million unless they're compensated for that. Somehow, the conference will have to get that money back to them. But Perrin, Mike Perrin, the AD at Texas, has said that that's not enough. He said it's going to take a lot more than just the money to get Texas to shelf the Longhorn Network, which I think that's a lot of posturing, too, because he thinks that it's, you know, as far as branding and Olympic sports and recruiting, he thinks that's a factor. He said it's a very valuable asset we have, but I don't think that that thing has done them nearly as much as they would lead on to. I think that honestly, that's a useless tool.
The network itself,
yeah. And I mean, no one watches it except when there's a football game on it, like the once a year that they force you to go to flip to that station and watch a football game.
And neither of the – or when there was two, and neither of them were games that you necessarily unless you're diehard.
No, it's the Iowa State game.
Yeah, exactly.
Almost always.
And I'll be honest with you, my wife and I and our daughter, who loves the Olympic stuff, we saw the Texas Longhorns logo more watching the diving qualifiers for the Olympics than we've ever been close to the Longhorn Network. And not where we're anti-Longhorn, we just don't go out of our way to see it. There's nothing to see there. You can watch coaches' shows for a week straight. You know, that logo is so ubiquitous in other parts of the world that,
yeah,
you know, it's not necessarily evil anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Drunk Bevo says, as a big Longhorn fan, I can say I'm not a fan of expansion, and I have wanted Texas out for a while. That's the sentiment I get from a lot of people. A lot of people in Austin is that they'd rather just be out of the conference altogether and let them have their own mess. If they're going to be the type of conference that is adding Memphis's and Cincinnati's,
yeah.
Central Florida, that's not working towards being a power football conference. And Texas, a lot of fans, a lot of people at the school are saying maybe we're better off being out of it. And that's what I think eventually will happen if this progresses any further.
Wonder if there's a weird wire in Boren's head where he's hoping Texas leaves, so maybe Oklahoma can be the undisputed kings of the,
boy,
the Big 12.
I mean, that's,
you know?
You're talking
about suicide, though,
being
kinda?
King of the anthill.
Yeah, exactly. Careful what you ask for there.
Yeah,
too.
I mean, ask UH how that feels. UH is the baddest boys in the AAC, and they want out of it.
251 wants to know, would Fred's head explode if U of H made it to the Big 12 right before Texas left? Well, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean,
it's so far away and far from likely, I think. I don't think it's worth getting excited about, frankly.
I still say, and I would ask UH fan this, and maybe I'll ask you, Jong. If UH can get into the Big 12, but there's no Texas or Oklahoma in the Big 12, have you really accomplished anything?
No, I would not want to leave. If Texas were to leave, I would not want to leave the American.
Because the Big 12, I'm telling you, the Big 12 without Texas is just like every other WAC or Mountain, I mean, every other rickety conference.
You have to wonder at the end of, I guess, 8 years left with this FCS, if that landscape doesn't change and all of a sudden, because you don't have those powers in what is currently the Big 12, whether they lose that stroke in terms of their conference prominence and in the grand scheme of playoffs and national championship opportunities and stuff like that. I mean, you really have to be playing the long game and realize what you could be getting yourself into here. I don't think anyone is doing that except for Texas, and they're the ones who hold the cards, really.
Now, what it does remind me of is, and it's to a lesser extent, when U of H was looking to move away from Conference USA, and there were the rumors were to go to the Big Ten or the Big East, and all of a sudden U of H says, okay, we'll go to the Big East, and all of these teams from the Big East started flooding out of the Big East, and now U of H is kind of stuck at in the American, kind of, you know, with their pants pulled down.
Right.
I mean, in the long run, I think, yes, it was a better move to move to the American in terms of competition and all that stuff.
But if the Big East would have stayed together, then that would have been a better spot.
Yeah, you might be looking at a Power 6 instead of a Power 5.
Yeah.
You would never have had that bowl game with Florida State last year.
No,
you wouldn't. And that's what's funny is people act like the Big 12 is one of these conferences that can never not be a – like it's always going to be a power conference. And that's what I'm seeing on Twitter. You guys remember when the Big East was – it was another one of those power conferences. It was a Power 6. The Big East had as much clout as these other ones. They were the weakest of the bunch. Yep. But eventually they fell apart, and now they're not even looked at as a football conference. The same thing could happen to the Big 12. You know, eventually if the right teams leave, and like I said, three of the four teams, if Texas were to leave, that'd be three of the four teams that have any real clout, because Texas A&M and Nebraska have already left. That would have been three of the four teams that have clout in that conference. Mm. It's barely a conference anymore.
And hopefully no one's out there counting Baylor, because you're out of your mind.
No. And again, this is where when Baylor and TCU, and I'm not trying to disparage what they've done on the field recently, because it's obviously impressive. But on the field is, again, secondary in this discussion. It's about financially, what do you bring to the table?
Right on.
And Baylor and TCU aren't the same type of earning programs that Nebraska and Texas A&M and Texas and Oklahoma are. They're just not. All right. I keep saying we'll continue this discussion. We'll maybe do some more non-sportsy
stuff.
We got a bunch of stuff to talk about. Who wants to talk about college football all day? I don't know.
Well, Dennis Dodd writes for CBS Sports, just tweeted, headline, Big 12 unanimously approves moving ahead with expansion exploration.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're talking about it.
Well, and that's the thing is, there's no school out there, and this is not – I don't mean this as like a knock to UH – there's not a school out there that if you add this school, suddenly people are going to look at the conference like it's better.
No.
If they add UH and Cincinnati, I mean, they've got – basically all that accomplishes is you've got 12 schools now. No one's looking at the Big 12 like all of a sudden they're a much better football conference because they added UH and Cincinnati.
Did anyone feel that way when West Virginia joined the conference?
No.
Same thing.
And West Virginia is a higher profile
school
than UH or Cincinnati or Memphis or Central Florida.
They've had a crack at a title in the last 30 years, and there's still nothing. Well, not right. Nothing, but yeah.
We'll be back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we are back. A lot of weird stuff has come out of that Big 12, the Big 12 meetings there. I thought one of the weird things was that they're going to go back to divisions. And currently you play a round robin. I mean, you play everybody on the schedule. So they said they want to avoid a rematch in a championship game. But
yeah.
I don't know how you do that if you play a round robin. which they do now.
They'd have to get away from that completely and start bringing in more of an out-of-conference schedule, which on short notice might be tough to do.
Yeah. And then, you know, they say they're having a hard time figuring out how to divide up the conferences. They want to do some sort of geographic designation, but east, west, and north, south don't always make sense. He says we have to overlay traditional rivals, how you do that and how you separate them. One of the things we would like to do is avoid late season rematches if we can. So as you look at divisions, you want to try and be thoughtful about the rivalry games. And what he's talking about is last year, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State would have played in back-to-back weeks if there was a conference championship game, because they played in the regular season finale and would have played again the next week, and they want to avoid that.
And if they split, then you've got people arguing, you know. Maybe you have a Daryl Royal conference division and a Barry Switzer division, and you let them pick sides.
Dustin says, even with UT and OU, I still don't want UH in the Big 12. They need stability first. That's the other thing. I mean, UH fan and these teams that are playing in these less than awesome conferences are in a rush to get to the Big 12. But clearly the Big 12 is a mess right now.
Yeah.
I mean, are you really wanting to hitch your wagon to that? And granted, I don't think that there's an option out there for some of these schools other than that. But I don't know if it's the best thing. Patrick says A&M and Nebraska leaving the Big 12 took a lot of the luster off the conference for me personally. I'm a Texas Tech fan that lived in Austin. Well, no doubt. I mean, that's when the conference went from being on par with every other power conference in the country to now they're kind of they're at the back of the line. ACC football is better than Big 12 football at this point.
That's very difficult to say and hear.
But that's the
growing up in that conference. Yeah, you're
that's
absolutely
real.
Right.
If the Big 12 broke up today, how many schools get picked up by other big conferences?
Five, maybe.
By big conferences?
Well, by Texas, Oklahoma.
Who else?
Someone would take a run at Baylor and TCU.
I don't think so.
You don't think at all?
Religious schools, first of all.
Well, no, yeah.
I mean, most like the Pac-12 is not interested in schools that have any ties to religion.
Well, someone texted in SEC actually wanted West Virginia over Missouri, so maybe something there.
Maybe.
But, I mean, to me, if I'm a conference
at
president,
14 already.
There's nothing sexy about any of those teams.
No.
There's no Texas, drawing power.
Now, Oklahoma State might get a ride along somewhere with Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So, like, and they probably got the sort of deal in place where if Oklahoma leaves to another conference, they're going to have to take Oklahoma State with them. But I don't think there's any other schools outside of those that power conferences are looking at and saying, you know what? This is going to make our conference better. It's going to make our conference more financially viable. I don't see that with anybody outside of Texas and Oklahoma.
512 texting in, how does Texas A&M have clout? How many BCS bowl wins?
I'm talking about how much money the program makes. A&M, their on-field success is, and hell, Nebraska hasn't won a damn thing in forever. Texas sucks now. Yeah. It doesn't matter. I'm talking about the dollars that program brings to Texas A&M is a valuable brand. And that's what matters more than anything to these conferences is what kind of value does the brand add? And that's why it's been difficult for teams like UH to find a big home, because the brand of UH it's not very valuable to these conferences. A&M, whatever you think of what they've done on the field, had a valuable brand name, and it continues to be a valuable brand name. Same with Nebraska, and Texas and Oklahoma are the last two of those schools that are, to me, considered brand name football programs.
Texter had a good point here, raising the question about Kansas because of their hoops program, and that might be an outlier, but in terms of football,
yeah,
which brings in the most money, by the way.
Kansas is interesting because they do have such a good basketball program and a historically great basketball program, but their football program is a nightmare, and that's tough. I mean, I could see the ACC maybe doing something with them, geographically doesn't make sense.
Big Ten makes sense for them too, I think.
The Big Ten, possibly. But, I mean, again, some of these conferences are already overloaded as it is, you know. And if you're the Big Ten and you've got a choice of taking Oklahoma and Oklahoma State or Kansas and some other school, you're taking Oklahoma and Oklahoma State because you get that one brand name football program. So, you know, to me, Kansas, maybe the Big East or someone like that where basketball is more of a priority. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is with them. They are a tough one to call because that basketball program has a value that no other basketball program in the Big 12 has, for
and
sure.
269 texting in, he's a Wolverines fan. Michigan's a brand. That's a great example because they haven't won in a while.
Yeah,
they're not winning,
but they're
still a brand, though.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
They're still making that money.
Dude, Notre Dame went through this Notre Dame football program became a joke.
Yeah.
But they were still on NBC every week. Why? Because the brand name had so much value. And there's only probably, you know, 20, 25 programs in the country that have that kind of...
You might be generous there.
Yeah, yeah, you know? I mean, that type of swagger that every conference would love to have their hands on a program like that. But the Big 12 just has very few of them at this point.
And Michigan fan, you're a double threat because you have a viable hoops program too. Kansas is a one-trick pony. And they'd be relying on basketball to get them somewhere where their crappy football team could make money.
And if you can only have one, a great football program or a great basketball program,
sure,
it's way more financially viable to add a team that has a great football program. Because
sure,
even the football or the basketball programs that make the most money it's a drop in the bucket compared to what Texas football or Notre Dame football or Michigan football or Florida football makes. It's not even close.
No.
So that's why it, you know, and this is a weird topic because people are so sensitive about their school mattering. And, you know, everybody takes offense if you say, well, they don't add any value or they're less valuable than this school. And again, it's not about what you've done on the field, that doesn't matter. And TCU is a perfect example of a team that's done everything you could ask of them on the field. That's not a program that the SEC is not calling up TCU if the Big 12 busts up tomorrow and saying, hey, we got a spot for you. They're just not.
713 wants to know, as a Baylor fan, are they following the same path as Walter White? Interesting take, sir or ma'am. I like your thinking.
Matt says, I wish 16-team super conferences would hurry up and get here. This conference debate is tiresome. I don't know if the 16-team super conferences will ever get here. I remember the talk of that. I mean, that was like eight years ago.
Yeah.
And they were going to have four 16-team conferences, and basically everybody else was going to be on the outside.
You're a subdivision now.
Yeah, but I don't see that happening. It's going to be everybody's fighting for a spot in the best conferences, and some programs are more valuable than others, and they're going to have an easier time finding those spots. All right, we'll be back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Love it.
All right, 5:33 on The Blitz. We are neck deep in sports where I didn't expect to be today.
Didn't see it coming myself.
It's...
I got people on text asking where Barry is because you guys are so much funnier.
Yeah, listen.
He brings the bottle of seltzer water and the clown nose Sunday mornings from 10 to 12, so get to Houston game day and you can catch more of that.
I honestly expected this to be one of those shows because nothing was happening in sports that I felt even warranted discussion. And then the Brock Lesnar thing came out. All the Big 12 stuff came out. Astros got in a fight last night.
RNC.
Yeah, we did talk some of that, but I feel like that's the only – is that the only non-sports that we've really gotten
into? I feel like we've been adults here, and I feel like that's my fault.
No, it's not your fault, because I've been kind of pushing the direction of the show, and that's just where it's been pushed. Yeah. So I probably should have gotten away from it.
It's all good. I mean, you've had a lot of good feedback, so, you know, people are in. It's those hardcore degenerate guys that want the sophomoric stuff, which we can do.
We can do that.
We can do that.
But, I mean, every once in a while I have to pretend like I care about what's going on in the world of sports. You know?
I will say, the more pictures I see of Mrs. Trump, I get the feeling that Bill Clinton may not vote for his own wife. I feel like Bubba might be casting that.
Yeah,
that vote from, is it Melania or Melania?
Melania.
Melania.
Yeah.
Yeah. You take a shot at that.
Yeah, not
I think Bubba would be in there. I'd
love to see her in the Oval Office. You think his stuff is still working?
He's probably, with the money he's got, get the pharmaceuticals needed to get the job done.
He looks like hell. Maybe every prosthetic. Time I see him, I'm like, oh.
Whenever they do those, I mean, him especially, and the skin is like a weird thing now. And they've done it with Obama, when they take the picture from like the day they got first inaugurated to now. 8 years will wear a president out. It's amazing, no matter who they are. It's like they've been to hell and back.
Yeah. I mean, everybody you look at, like, you look at a picture of them when they go into office and when they come out, it's always like a pretty drastic change. And Bill Clinton was no different. But Bill Clinton,
I don't know if he could pull the way he did back in those days.
No, he's not getting a chick like Melania now. No way. Mm. Melania's Playboy material. Has been.
Oh, if I want to see that
in
now.
The past, anyway. I don't know if I'd want to see it.
The first ladies issue, or
I'd want to see. Yeah,
compilation.
What
of
are you
all...
say? You're not interested in seeing her naked? I don't believe that. I feel like listen. She stole the speech. She's married to a Scooby Doo villain, but you can't take away the heat factor. Yeah, she's a good looking chick.
I think I've allowed that image to be tainted by him. You're
and
right.
And she will be, if elected, the hottest first lady for sure.
Oh, for sure. And Michelle's got a little something going on, but in the history of first ladies, I think you have to go back to Jackie probably, maybe.
This chick wrecks Jackie.
Yeah, but I'm just saying,
yeah,
in
yeah,
terms of that factor.
Yeah, Michelle's solid. Jackie's solid.
Just in my brain going
dude,
back.
Dude, even W's wife, I mean, Laura over the grand scheme.
Laura was like Rosalind Carter territory, that matronly teacher-y kind of thing.
You know.
Not Nancy. Not
You
not
wouldn't
Barb.
Have with Nancy?
Nah.
Come on.
Nah. She was always just saying no.
Yeah, she did just say no
a
lot.
She was just saying no all the time.
Just say no a lot. But yeah, no matter what those chicks looked like, Melania would be the hottest first lady for sure.
And that's why he's not getting elected. That would be the only
and
upside.
And what are we going to call if Bill Clinton's the first?
Do you want to hear he'd be the first gentleman.
Is that what it
that's
is?
That's what it would be, the first gentleman.
That's weird.
Which is ironic.
But don't you always refer to him as
yeah,
president?
But he's also Mr. President at the same time. Yeah, so obviously we've never had that territory covered, but first gentleman and Mr. President.
I don't like that. I feel like if I were Bill Clinton,
that's
I wouldn't
bizarre.
Want to be called first gentleman. I'd say, listen, I'm the former president of this country. You'll call me Mr. President.
I think he would still be referred. I think that supersedes the first gentleman part.
I would think so, too.
Like if Palin's husband, you know, if she had somehow become president, and we're all blessed at this point that never happened, but her husband would have been first gentleman.
Okay.
We'll just call Mr. President and be done.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Yeah, there's a lot of great storylines with the elections, and that for me is on the forefront. What do we call Bill Clinton if Hillary's elected?
281 says JFK looked the worst leaving office. Him and Lincoln are probably neck and neck.
They
I didn't mean to say it that way, but that's the way it came out.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. You could
my head.
Yep. They were a hair apart, those two. It was very
of
very
one mind.
Call.
Yeah. For sure.
And oddly never mind, I won't even go there. I was gonna disparage a person who left office fully alive, but I'll leave that alone.
Yeah, all right.
John, did you see this post? that Chris put on Twitter?
What, the Asian guy with the corn on the stupid drill?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen this before. It doesn't end well.
You got to admit, that guy looks a lot like you.
Yeah, with more hair.
But could you grow that much hair if you wanted to?
No, it would be very patchy.
Okay.
Now, he's got the actual buzzed, like, kind of like if Mike here would to shave the top of his head, that's what it looks like.
We've been down that road several times. I never came close to that episode.
No. You never come close to shaving the head?
No, I've done that several times, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Never meeting an end like that, gentleman. Someone is asking how many Pokemon you're up to. Never thought I'd ask that question.
Not many.
Have you slowed down on Poke hunting?
I don't really go during the week. Like on Saturday, I went to Discover Green.
That's how you spend your weekends.
Yeah. I mean, this past Saturday, or was it Saturday? Yeah, this past Saturday I did.
Your girlfriend has her own Pokemon?
Yeah. She's a lot further than I am.
Does she have a full-time job as well?
No, part-timer.
Okay.
Yeah, but she did most of hers on Saturday as well.
Okay. Do you guys ever fight over a Pokemon? Like
No, because everyone will see the same thing.
So once someone catches it, it's still there for
people? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. That kind of defeats the purpose. I feel like it should be like a rat race. Everybody fighting over the same few Pokemon.
Yeah, there's a video. I forget. I think it was like Central Park. But this guy, they found a Charizard, which is one of the strongest starters that you could have. Like, it evolves from a Charmander. Anyway, they saw it, and like this guy was running to the spot, and this other guy just shivers him to the ground and just moves him out of the way. And I was just like, man, this is getting a little out of hand.
Who got the Charizard?
Well, everyone can, but the guy just like shoved him out of the way.
Because he thought that there was only one?
I guess so.
Well, I can't blame him.
There was
a valuable Pokemon.
There was an article in The Ringer today. I don't remember the guy. Molly McHugh wrote it. She kind of mapped out all the mayhem over the course of this whole thing from state by state. And it's just amazing the ends people are meeting, being shot. Two people in San Diego fell off a cliff trying to hunt down one of these things.
Yeah.
Dead bodies have been found in three different states. Someone got stabbed.
But isn't that kind of good that they're finding dead bodies?
Yeah, I mean, because Google Maps can't do all of it, so...
Right, I mean, but like, those, yeah. if we didn't play Pokemon, who would have found those dead bodies? Maybe no one. Maybe they just rotted for a while, right?
Little girl in PA got hit by a car. Texas teen was bitten by a venomous snake. Been several attempted murders. There was a child predator who was luring people.
Someone in Florida, Palm Coast, Florida, is now facing charges because he shot at Pokemon Go players. They were playing the game in front of a house, and it was 1:30 in the morning. Guy went outside with a gun, saw the boys in the car, told them not to move their car. He claims they drove toward him, which...
Are they in his driveway looking at him?
No, they were on the street, parked on the street in front of his house. I just want you to paint a mental picture here. Pretend I'm parked on the street in front of your house.
Right.
And you come out of the front door and you say, don't move. If I were to drive towards you, wouldn't that be like on your lawn?
Yeah, that's my whole point, yeah.
That's no. He drove toward them, apparently, according to this guy, and then they drove away and he shot him.
Good Lord.
He said, if the issue of deadly force is justified, then that's what we're analyzing, said the police.
Would you go into a cemetery after one, Jong?
No.
Pennsylvania's trying to be the new Florida. Some teens got locked in a cemetery overnight trying to chase one.
You would think Pokemon the game would have like let people know like there's certain places you can't like where they wouldn't put these Pokemon.
Yeah.
Like, there was a bunch of people in Arlington National Cemetery trying to get Pokemon.
I think there was a Holocaust museum.
Yeah.
You gotta be kidding.
It's in poor taste. But Pokemon knows no boundaries. And I think eventually they're finding, okay, Holocaust Museum, bad idea. Let's cut this off.
Oh, no. But you're just encouraging them.
You'd think, no, they're not going to make them. Like, they're going to stop putting Pokemon there. The game is.
Is this worldwide, or is it just in the U.S.? Because I can see the Vatican.
I think it's worldwide.
It is worldwide.
The Vatican is due.
I think it's worldwide now.
Hmm. Interesting.
Were there Pokemon at your church, John?
Yeah, our church is actually a Pokestop.
There's several churches advertising that out front. They're trying to bring in the followers, man.
Well, makes sense. Makes sense. All right, it's AJ Hoffman and Mike Liebeschock. We got a little over an hour left to go. Oof. We'll try and have some more fun. Maybe we'll have some more sports. I don't know. I don't know if there'll be enough time. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we are back on The Blitz. A little over an hour to go. And then Soccer Matters will be on at 7 o'clock tonight. Tune in at 7 p.m. for tonight. Tonight's Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis. He always does a good job. Also, download the new ESPN 97.5 app, available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. If you don't have an iPhone or an Android, you can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN97.5.com. Did you see that John Manziel has come out and apologized and made some promises that we know he can't keep? Are you aware of his?
I was aware of him saying he wasn't going out like that. He wants to come back and put a better end on that story.
Yeah, Johnny tweeted, "Chills. I love A&M with all my heart. I'm truly sorry. I'll do whatever I can to make it right. I'm an Aggie for life." Although there's a lot of Aggies who don't feel the same way. They've moved on from John.
How quickly they turn.
I
get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
He also posted on Instagram, "You all write about a day in my life and what goes on. Here it is. No secrets, no hiding. I'm not what you read about. I'll be back in time. It can't end like this. It won't. I love you all, even though your comments suck." He says he's actually doing well. He said that to the Washington Post. He said, "I have good friends around me supporting what I do." Someone's got to chop up those lines. And I try to support them in what they do. I'm not saying I'm never drinking again, but for now, just mostly being healthy. I've got a killer gym in my house, and I can spend time working out. I'm interested in doing a lot of different things in my life, including football. But right now, I'm just exploring options and waiting to see what the future holds. First of all, what can Johnny do besides play football?
Drink.
Right.
A lot.
What productive can Johnny do besides play football?
That's it. Maybe coach some kids.
And Johnny, I would be shocked if we ever see Johnny playing in the NFL again. Johnny wasn't really a very good player in the NFL. And then he had all the off-the-field problems. I mean, the guy was a giant pain in the ass. And people will put up with you being a giant pain in the ass if you're really good at sports. If you're not really good at sports and you're a giant pain in the ass, you just go away. And that's – I mean, is there anybody out there who's going to look at a 5'11" quarterback and go, "We've got to have this guy on our team"?
Look at the physical tools.
I can't picture anyone saying, especially, "Oh, he's been out of football for 2 years." Well, I don't know if that's a positive.
Thing is, man, the thing I've never gotten about this, AJ, is the fact that at some point in his life, he had to work really hard to get. I mean, you don't just become the starting quarterback at A&M. You don't just get drafted. At some point, this had to matter enough. I mean, I see with the kids out, you know, where we live out in the ISD and in KISD, how hard they work every day. At what point does this just not matter enough to you that you just don't give a flip anymore and you just do whatever he's done for this last year and a half? I don't know that he's got the physical tools or the intangibles to turn it around and get back. I don't care if he gets sober. I don't think he's got it in him. It's just so bizarre to me.
I think that Johnny got, I want to say almost he's one of these guys, and I kind of projected that this would happen is once he got real money, and his family has
his
money.
His family's got money,
you know.
Yeah.
But once he got his own money, with the fame that he had, and the clearly the issues that he has, none of that. That's not the stuff that heals your issues. If you've got addiction problems, being rich and famous isn't going to help that. You know, it's probably going to go the other way. And, you know, I never thought Johnny was going to be able to play in the league to begin with. And you add to the fact this dude's partying and more interested in other things than he is in playing football. I'm not surprised this is where we've ended up. I honestly didn't think it would go this fast. I didn't think he'd be washed out of the league already. But I just can't picture a scenario where Johnny Football's back to football in the near future. I don't care what he does to clean up his act. At this point, I think he's kind of – we've seen that.
It's not like he's 6'3", 6'4", with this unbelievable right. arm and leadership and all right. the other stuff. He's a scrawny kid.
If this dude was Andrew yeah. Luck.
Yeah. He'd still need
him. Like, if Andrew Luck was a cokehead yeah. – people would find a way to get him clean and get him right and get him back out on a football field.
Yeah. A lot of people saw him as a project from the get-go.
Lawrence Taylor never had a problem getting back on the football field because, you know, Daryl Strawberry was able to find jobs for a long time because he was really good at sport.
Yep.
Johnny Football is just not that good at football.
I don't do the Snapchat, but someone texting and saying they've seen him on there and dancing in the mirror. Looking like he's coked up, jacked up haircut. They say he's a complete mess. I'll have to trust you on that. I don't venture into those waters, but, yeah, I don't see it. That 30 for 30 is writing itself. Maybe 2 years from now we'll see
it. Oh, it's going to be glorious.
Two-parter? Is there enough there for two parts?
Glorious.
Might be a 45-minute episode. There's not a lot to go on there.
Yeah, I've seen somebody sent me that snap of Johnny with the haircut is really awful. Hmm. And... he looks very unhealthy, but looks can be deceiving. He's supposedly been sober since July 1st.
Right before the 4th of July holiday, huh? That's when he decided to go sober? Yeah. Right before the fireworks and the beer and all?
So we're going on what?
Yeah.
18-day chip now, I'm sure.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good on him. I mean, God love him. Hopefully he does. It's just not likely.
I'm not betting on that. No way. Am I betting on that? Mm-hmm. All right. Hour number three of the Blitz on the other side of this break. How have you felt so far about the first 2 hours?
Not what I expected. I'm not hating on it.
Okay.
I thought to be more tomfoolery and sophomoricism. I think I made up a word there. But we are subject to what's going on in the world,
I'm sorry to disappoint.
Not at all. We've been captive by the real world.
Sorry to disappoint.
It is what it is, man.
You know what's weird?
I'm not great at that stuff anyway.
I just saw the Astros lineup for tonight.
Yeah, I'm looking at that too.
How shocking is it that Luis Valbuena basically has the same batting average as Carlos Correa this year?
Yep. That sophomore slump will get you. Maybe you're not that guy. We'll see.
But honestly, hell, man. 264 is still the second best average on this team.
And they're only two home runs apart.
Yeah. That's
in that ballpark.
That's interesting. All right. We'll be back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.